Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. At the Michigan Historical Museum in Lansing, a new exhibit called Lake Effects examines the state's weather history, including the state's worst natural disasters. Displays show how the people of Michigan have dealt with the vagaries of all four seasons and the evolution of how people have predicted weather. Current State Scott Pohl toured the exhibit with the museum's chief curator, Maria Quinlan Leiby. She's wanted to devote an exhibit to the weather for a long time.
We've been thinking a lot about doing things that are a little more interdisciplinary, and we're going to have some very interesting programming, especially that goes along with this exhibit. It is aimed at kids. It's also really aimed at families, because I think that families, when they look at especially the different seasonal displays, will find things to talk about, and parents and grandparents can relate experiences from their lives to their kids.
Well, this is certainly eye-catching, this enormous orange, I'm not sure what you would call it. It looks like a bodysuit or something that you would wear in the water that's incredibly cold. Am I right about that?
You are exactly right. It's a cold water survival suit, and vessels on the Great Lakes carry these for all their crew now. They're oversized so that they can get into them quickly if they need to. They have waterproof zippers and special closures at the neck so that water really can't get in.
Is there a flotation element to this design?
There is. The suits themselves are buoyant, but there's a tube coming over the mannequin's shoulder, and there's a flotation bladder on his back that he can inflate.
Well, I want one of these if I go overboard on Lake Superior.
Yeah, you wouldn't survive without it.
Here's a display that focuses on the Great Storm of 1913. Let's start with some background on the storm of 1913.
It's still regarded as the most destructive storm on the Great Lakes. It took place over several days and ended with massive destruction, especially in Lake Huron, where 8 freighters sank with all hands. There was a lot of storm damage along the coasts. One of the photographs we have shows the wreckage from a boathouse at the Point O'Barks life-saving station on the Thumb. But all along the lakes, buildings that were close to the shore were flooded, damaged, destroyed.
Here's a Detroit News front page that says the headline, "Death total on lakes may be 273. Greatest mystery in history of Great Lakes disasters." And it's dated November 13th, 1913. And there also are some artifacts from the wreck of a boat called the Regina in 1913. Tell me about these artifacts.
These were brought up after the wreck was discovered in the 1980s. The Regina was a package freighter carrying a very miscellaneous cargo. Most of the artifacts that we have, though, were being used by the crew. The Regina was one of the freighters on Lake Huron. It went down near Port Sanilac and is still on the bottom there.
Then we also have a case that has some items that were recovered from the Rockaway, which sank off South Haven in a storm in 1891.
Like so many other ships over the years, the Rockaway encountered a violent storm in November. In this case, all the crew were rescued, but the ship went down and stayed there till the 1980s when some fishermen snagged their anchor on the wreck. And because it was close to the Lake Michigan Maritime Museum, a full archaeological study was done on the vessel, giving historians a lot of information about how working schooners operated on the lakes, how they were built, those kinds of things.
Here's a display that has to do with heat in the summer and some of the hottest days in Michigan, and it reflects that 1936 was the hottest summer ever recorded in the United States. And considering how hot it's been the last few summers, some people might find that to be surprising.
It was a surprise to the staff.
There's a graph that shows high temperatures for days between July 8th and July 14th of 1936. The top temperature recorded in Lansing was 101 degrees, but there are a couple of 108 degree readings in Grand Rapids and Flint.
Yes. I don't know how Lansing got off so lucky. But part of what made it really bad was the sustained heat. If you follow a couple of the lines, especially Flint and Detroit, they were 100 or higher for all those days, all 7 days.
Even 104 one day in Traverse City.
Yes, but being on the lake, they weren't over 100 for more than 2 days in a row.
Well, the real thing to notice there is that it was 104 degrees in Traverse City on July 13th, 1936. The next day, the high was 76. That's quite a difference in a one-day span.
It is indeed, and I'm sure it was welcome.
Well, not to make light of the situation, though, that was deadly heat in those days. One of the newspaper headlines around this display, the Grand Rapids Herald, 112 die as mercury mounts. This was deadly in those days.
Yes, yes. It was about 500 people, I believe, in the state of Michigan. Most of them in the Detroit area died from heat-related causes.
There's also, sadly, an exhibit about the awful tornado that struck Beecher in the Flint area in 1953 with 116 deaths. And next to that is an exhibit regarding flooding in Michigan with a very interesting picture in the background of which you can see the MSC, as it was at the time, tower on the Michigan State University campus. Let's talk first of all about the tornado of 1953.
Okay. Tornado warning in the early 50s was in its infancy, and the reason there was so much devastation, so much of a human toll, is that there just wasn't much warning. The tornado was half a mile wide at times. It was a F5 tornado, very powerful and absolutely terrifying to the people who lived through it.
You have an aerial photo where it's easy to see the path of destruction that the tornado created.
Yeah. And it happened after 8 o'clock at night. So even though it was June, there wasn't a whole lot of daylight left, which is why you see in one of the photos people searching in the dark. They were trying to find anybody who might be alive in the remains.
Now, the flooding exhibit includes photographs from a big flood in this area in 1947. It includes the photo I mentioned earlier, the flooding photo with the MSC smokestack tower in the background, and also an interesting map of the city of East Lansing and Lansing, which indicates in red how extensively the Red Cedar River and the Grand River overflowed their banks in this flood.
Yes, they mapped it because they realized they'd had floods in the same places before. 1904 in particular, in downtown Lansing at Kalamazoo and River Streets, and after the 47 flood, they decided they wanted to see if they could do something to prevent future flooding. So they needed to map the areas that were inundated and take a look at the engineering and what they would have to do.
All right. Now, one thing I want to ask you about is that when people hear that at least a part of the display has to do with disasters, that tends to attract people. Tell people there's an exhibit about the weather, and for some people that will be interesting, but for others it's the fact that there's information and artifacts from shipwrecks here, that sort of thing. This kind of combines the appeal for both, doesn't it? An interest in the weather and an interest in natural disasters.
I hope so. We wanted to be sure and include the 1913 storm because its centennial is coming up just next month, and to remind people that weather is both good and bad in terms of its effects on us, and we have to deal with all of that.
Maria Quinlan Leiby is the chief curator at the Michigan Historical Museum. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.